The late E.O. Wilson, Edward Wilson, who was a famous biologist at Harvard University who happened to study ants, as I do, he had this great quote where he called insects the little things that run the world.
Welcome to Mothering Earth, your source for sustainable living news. I'm Salwa Khan. The thought of insects running the world may make you cringe at first, but think about it. Most insects aren't harmful to us humans and in fact do a lot for us. Insects pollinate food crops and other plants. They aerate our soil. They eat other more harmful insects. They recycle dead plants and animals. They are food for other species like birds. And in some cases, think butterflies, for example, they are amazingly beautiful. Let's find out more about these tiny creatures with Scott Solomon. He's a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Rice University.
Actually, insects make up about half of all species on Earth that we know about. But then there is the broader group known as arthropods. So arthropods are things that have an exoskeleton and jointed legs. So that would include also things like, you know, crabs and shrimp and lobsters and spiders that aren't insects, but they are arthropods. And then if we zoom out from there, there's an even larger group of other kinds of animals that are invertebrates. And that includes everything from, you know, like a coral is a kind of animal that's an invertebrate, but so is like a jellyfish or a worm. So there's lots of things that live in the water, but also on land that don't have bones, don't have a skeleton. And technically, they're not vertebrates if they don't have vertebrae or a backbone. But most things that have bones have a backbone. So for the most part, we're talking about things that don't have bones. And yeah, insects make up a large percentage of those and half of all species of any kind of living thing that we know about on Earth. Kind of crazy.
Right. And so the term insects and bugs, can you talk about that?
So we use the term bug like, you know, to mean almost anything, right? I mean, if you think about it, we use the term bug to mean an insect, but we also, you know, if you get a cold, you might say, oh, I came down with a bug, right? Or, you know, even like in computers, we say, oh, my program has a bug in it or something. So I think we use that term in such a broad sense that it's not very meaningful when we're talking about like, well, what kind of organism do you mean? Actually, there within insects, there's a particular group of insects that are known as the true bugs. They're in an order of insects called the Hemiptera. And those are the ones that are technically bugs. Like you'd be accurate if you were saying that's a bug. Most of the rest of the insects are not ones that a biologist would call a bug. But personally, I don't worry too much if somebody's like, oh, what a cool bug, and they're pointing at like a butterfly. Sure, it's a cool bug. That's fine with me. But yeah, I mean, insects technically are defined by a few things. They have three main segments of their body. So they have a head, a thorax, which is the part that the legs and if it's got wings, that's where the wings would be attached. And then the abdomen, which is where a lot of the other organs, internal organs are stored. So they have those three main body parts. And then they're going to have other characteristics like having six legs is one of the really distinguishing traits of an insect. So if you're not sure whether something that's crawling around is an insect or another kind of arthropod, well, if you count the legs, and if it has six legs, then you can be pretty sure that what you're looking at is an insect. If it has more than six legs, like maybe eight legs, then it might be an arachnid, like a spider. And then, you know, there's some that have even more, like if you think about a centipede or a millipede that have, you know, lots and lots of legs. Those are related to insects, but they're not insects.
So I'm curious, you mentioned one group that you can truly call bugs. What are they?
Yeah, so the Hemiptera, the true bugs, those include things like, for example, stink bugs are a kind of true bug. And one of the ways that you can recognize them is if you're looking at them from the top, the way their wings fold over their back usually creates the shape of an upside down triangle, a triangle pointing sort of towards the bottom of the insect. That's one thing. The other thing is that their mouth parts, insects have all different types of mouth parts for how they feed. And that's a really useful thing to look at if you're trying to identify them. So all of the true bugs, the Hemiptera, they have a piercing, sucking kind of mouth part. So it's basically shaped like a needle or a syringe, and they will use that for sucking some liquid up. So a lot of them are feeding on plant sap, and so that's what they're sucking up. In other cases, they might be a predator. So there are some insects that are true bugs, assassin bugs that are predators of other insects, and they use that piercing, sucking mouth part to suck the juices out of their prey. A cicada would be another example of a true bug, and they've got those piercing, sucking mouth parts for plant sap.
So how did you first become interested in insects?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I was one of those kids that grew up just like outside all the time, you know, exploring in my backyard or around the neighborhood, or, you know, when we traveled, I would always be kind of wanting to see what kind of things I could find outside. And I was interested in everything when I was young. You know, I was looking for dinosaur bones in my backyard, which I never found. But, you know, I was just kind of curious about sort of all living things. And that included insects. And so I think one of the things that's cool about insects is they're everywhere and they're so common. And so you can go out and find them pretty much anywhere you go. It wasn't until I became a graduate student, actually, that I started focusing on insects as my research subject. I started studying ants, actually. And there's a number of reasons that I picked that particular group. But I think it was one of those things where, you know, I always had a natural curiosity as a kid. And I guess you could say in some ways that natural curiosity just never went away.
Right. You're listening to Mothering Earth. I'm Saul Wakan. I'm here today with Scott Solomon. He's a professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Rice University. And you say that insects are Earth's most essential species, which I'm sure is a blow to many humans. But why are insects so important?
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. People are important too. So I created the series. It was actually during the pandemic called, Why Insects Matter, Earth's Most Essential Species. And the idea is not to say that other groups of organisms aren't important. All of them are. But I think insects are kind of they're the underdogs. They're the overlooked or often overlooked group that is so important in ways that we often don't appreciate. The late E.O. Wilson, Edward Wilson, who was a very famous biologist at Harvard University who happened to study ants, as I do, he had this great quote where he called insects the little things that run the world. And I think it's really true. I mean, we don't often give them the credit that they deserve. Just a few examples, right? So the one that's probably most familiar to people is pollination, right? We know that many insects, including bees, are important because they pollinate the crop plants that we depend on for food. And that certainly is true. And in fact, it's something like 80% of all crop plants worldwide are pollinated by some kind of an insect. So we really do depend on them for our food supply. But they also are important in so many other ways. Just to give you a few examples, insects are also food for other creatures. So if you like birds, for example, many birds depend on insects for food. And if those insects didn't exist, those birds would be in big trouble. There are insects that play important roles in recycling nutrients and bringing those nutrients back into the soil so that plants can grow. Also breaking down waste, right? So, things that die need to get broken down and decomposed. And, microbes do that. Larger animals like, vultures and other scavengers do that. But insects actually play a really important role in recycling dead plants and animals. The list goes on and on. So really, I think insects play roles that often we forget about, maybe when we think about what makes the world work, what makes nature work. We need everything, but insects, again, they make up half of all living things. So they really are playing important roles in so many ways that I think we just often forget about.
Right, we do. And then the other place where insects, I think, play a very important role is in the soil. And as someone who loves to garden, I know that you need to keep the insects in the soil alive and healthy. What insects are in the soil, and what are they doing there?
Yeah, you're right. So, anybody that gardens is interacting with insects all the time. And, there's pest insects out there, but so many of the insects that are living in and around our gardens are doing important things. So the ones that are in the soil, I mean, there's a lot actually that spend time in the soil. I would like to highlight the role of ants. As I mentioned, ants are the insects that I have spent the most time studying. And I think, we often think about earthworms as playing an important role in creating soil that will be useful to plants, right? They are aerating the soil by digging tunnels. They are bringing nutrients, organic matter, and minerals into the soil. And that's true. But actually, if you look around the world, ants do more of that than do earthworms. So we've sort of given earthworms the credit maybe for this role that is actually performed by not only earthworms, but also ants. So if you think about an ant colony that maybe is, living in your yard, well, what are they doing? They are typically going out and finding some kind of food. Most ants are predators, and they're going to be bringing that food back into their nest to feed their larvae. And when they do that, they are bringing nutrients down into the soil. And they're also constructing tunnels that is, again, aerating the soil, breaking it up in much the same way that earthworms do. But there are just so many more ants than there are earthworms. So, if you look at which is making the biggest impact, actually, ants are making a much bigger impact than earthworms.
You're listening to Mothering Earth. I'm Salwa Khan. I'm here today with Scott Solomon, professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Rice University. And we're talking about insects. Now, there are certain flies and wasps in the garden that are garden helpers. Can you talk about that, those critters?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I think, one of the examples of like a wasp that is a garden helper are wasps that are actually attacking the insects that we think of as pests. So, one of the kind of well-known garden pests are hornworms. I don't know if you've ever had hornworms.
Oh, yeah.
In your garden. Yeah. So there's, tomato hornworms, for example. It's a big caterpillar. It gets the name hornworm because it has a little sort of a spiky horn looking thing on the top. But they are voracious herbivores, right? They're going to eat up a lot of your tomato plants and other types of plants related to tomatoes. So, of course, we know the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And that holds true in the case of the enemies of these caterpillars. And one of those is a type of parasitic wasp. Now, this is kind of interesting because this is a life cycle that only exists among insects. And that lifestyle is to lay eggs into the body of a host. And so the wasp is going to find one of these hornworms, and it's going to use its ovipositor, its egg layer, which is actually the same organ that is used for stinging in some bees and wasps and ants. It has evolved to be a stinger to deliver venom instead of eggs. But the original function of that organ is to lay eggs. And in some of these parasitic wasps, if you were to look at it closely, you would see what looks like a really long, thin stinger. And it's long and thin so that it can insert into the body, in this case of a caterpillar. And it's going to put the eggs inside the body of the caterpillar. Those eggs are going to hatch and turn into larvae of the wasp. And the larvae are going to feed off of the tissues of that caterpillar as it is growing. So it doesn't kill the caterpillar, at least not initially. The caterpillar has to survive because it's going to take time for the wasp larva to grow. And so the wasp larva is going to continue to grow and complete its development. And then eventually it's going to make a cocoon. And this is where you might actually be able to see this process happening, because sometimes you will see a caterpillar that has these white oval-shaped structures attached to its back. And those are actually the cocoons of this wasp. So if you see that on one of these caterpillars, you should actually not kill that caterpillar, because each of those cocoons has the wasp developing inside of it. And you, if you let it live, are going to have these wasps emerge as adults. That is going to kill the caterpillar. And then those adult wasps are going to go on to find another caterpillar that they can attack and kill. So it does ultimately kill the caterpillar, but it doesn't do it initially. So this is like natural pest control. These wasps, by being parasites of the caterpillars, are helping protect your garden by controlling the population of these hornworms.
It's a pretty amazing scheme.
It is. Yeah, it's sort of terrifying if you're the caterpillar, but it's good news if you're the gardener.
Some people find spiders scary, and many people think of spiders as insects or bugs, and both arachnids and insects do belong to a larger group of animals known as arthropods. But spiders belong to a class known as arachnids and are not classified as insects. Here are some differences between spiders and insects. Spiders have 8 legs, while insects have 6. A spider's body has 2 main sections, while insects have 3. Unlike insects, spiders don't have antennae or wings, and therefore cannot fly. Most insects have wings. Back to my interview with Scott Solomon, professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at Rice University. I asked him about our common fear of spiders.
Well, I have to confess that I also have something of a fear of spiders myself. And it used to really be like a real fear, like an arachnophobia, you know, like when I was younger, I really got creeped out if I was close to spiders. But I think I just sort of had to get over it, because a lot of the work that I do in my research and have done involves going out into places where you're gonna probably find some spiders. And so actually for me, it was an experience I had in college. I spent a semester studying abroad in Ecuador. And as part of a class that I took there, we took an overnight field trip down into the rainforest in the Amazon. And we slept in this kind of open walled hut that at night, if you shined a flashlight up into the kind of thatched roof, it was just crawling with these enormous spiders. And it was like, it was pretty freaky, I'm not going to lie. And I think for me, that was like this kind of defining moment where it was either, you know, give up and leave or you kind of deal with it. And, you know, I didn't immediately lose my fear, but it was noticeably less after surviving that experience. So, you know, I think here's the thing. Most spiders are not dangerous to people. There are, you know, a few species that can give you a nasty bite, like, you know, black widows and brown recluses. And I think, you know, you wouldn't want to be bit by one of those. But the vast majority of spiders that we see in our everyday lives that you're likely to encounter are not going to be harmful to you. So yeah, it's definitely one of those things where, you know, the more you are around them and see them and maybe learn to recognize the species that you do see, I think the less scary they become.
Do we know when the first insects appeared on Earth? And if so, do we know what they were and what their purpose might have been?
Yeah, actually, insects are an incredibly ancient group of organisms. And there is a pretty good fossil record of insects, even though they're, you know, they're small. We have fossils that go back, you know, like 400 million years. We see the very first six-legged arthropods, which are close relatives of something you might have living in your house today, the silverfish. I don't know about you, but I've seen these in, like, you know, in like my sock drawer or something like that, right? They're kind of strange looking, that is because these are ancient survivors. I mean, these have been around for 400 million years. They were around before there were dinosaurs on the planet, just to give you a sense of it. So,
and they're pretty delicate looking. They're not.
Yeah. They're kind of soft bodied. You know, they tend to live in you know, sort of dark, protected places like caves. And actually, there's a lot of species that you can find in our homes that have close relatives that live in caves. And we think the reason is that, you know, humans at one point lived in caves, and a lot of the species that lived in that environment sort of followed us into the homes that we began to build and have now become pretty well adapted to living in our houses. But originally they were our, you know, neighbors that lived in caves. So yeah, it's probably not a coincidence.
And then do we know how they might have survived through periods of mass extinction?
Yeah, it is kind of remarkable because, like I said, they're an ancient group, and that means that they have survived through the major mass extinction events that have, you know, wiped out so many other types of organisms. So the Permian mass extinction event was about 250 million years ago, and that wiped out more than 90% of all species that were alive at the time. And then the most recent mass extinction event that is sort of, you know, famous, I guess, is the one that killed the dinosaurs, right? That was 66 million years ago. So yeah, how did insects survive? Well, I think there's a number of things. One is that, first of all, there's a lot of them and they do a lot of different things. So not all of them survived. Some species did become extinct. But by living, you know, underground, or by living in, you know, life styles that allowed them to kind of, you know, persist even when, you know, there wasn't a lot of sunlight, for example. We think that the cause of the extinction event that killed the dinosaurs was a meteor impact that would have, you know, basically sent debris into the atmosphere that blocked out the light of the sun, maybe for years. So if you're an organism that can live on decay, well, you might have an advantage during a catastrophic episode like that. So, you know, having those kinds of lifestyles was probably helpful. But I think the main thing is just that there are so many of them that live a wide variety of different lifestyles. It increases the chances that at least some of them survive.
Now, most people care about protecting certain creatures like tigers or whales from extinction, or even butterflies, but not about other insects. In fact, many of us see them as bugs that we should exterminate. Why should we care to protect insects?
I think it's a great question. And first of all, I should be clear that there are some insects that are harmful to people, right? I mean, we talked a little bit about pests in the context of gardens. There are certainly agricultural pests that we spend billions of dollars each year trying to control. And from a strictly human perspective, let's be honest, we'd be better off without those particular species of insects. But that is a very tiny minority of all of the insects are you know, dangerous or expensive agricultural or garden pests. Another group that is actually, you know, harmful to us are the insects that spread disease, right? Mosquitoes being kind of the sort of best known and probably the most responsible for human death and suffering. I mean, malaria and yellow fever alone have been responsible for an incredible number of deaths throughout human history. I mean, it's really hard to overstate how significant those diseases have been. So I think we should be clear that mosquitoes, it's not to say that they don't serve a purpose in this world. They do. But the certain species of mosquitoes that spread those diseases, they've become so common because of us, because of the changes that we've made to the environment, and they tend to follow human populations. So if those species weren't around, we would be better off. But that's just the really tiny fraction of all insects. For all of the other species out there, they really are doing important things, both for people and for the natural world. And the world literally would not be able to operate as we know it without those insects. So, you know, I talked a little bit about things like, you know, pollination, and about things like, you know, the breakdown of dead plants and animals. Those are definitely important ecosystem services. They play an important role in the food web, right? By being food for other species. Another example is ways that insects help plants is, a lot of plants have figured out that if they need to spread their seeds to get their seeds out somewhere to germinate, they can actually trick ants into doing that for them by attaching to the seed a little edible structure. And a lot of different types of plants have kind of figured this out and evolved the same strategy to put a little edible thing around that seed so that the ants find it and they're like, ooh, food, okay, great. So they bring it back to their nest, they eat the edible part, and then once that's gone, they do what they do with any trash, refuse, they take it and they put it in a garbage dump. And the garbage dump is, of course, where all of the garbage has gone. So from the point of view of the plant, these ants just carried the seed away and then they planted it. And not only did they plant it, but they planted it in a compost pile, the best possible place for that seed to germinate and grow.
That's all for now. This has been Mothering Earth on insects, but this is part one. In our next show, more amazing stories about bugs. Our website is mothering-earth.com. Until next time, this is Salwa Khan signing off for Mothering Earth, your source for sustainable living news. The views and opinions expressed on Mothering Earth do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of this station.